Hello. I'd like to introduce a new series for devotional use for quiet times called The Imitation of Christ, and it's named after the Christian classic with that same title. As usual, we have an opportunity to begin a new year with a focused series. We've been doing this for a long time. Last year, for example, we had 50 podcasts and notes on the Gospel of John and the letters. This year, that is 2019. Perhaps you're listening to this later on. Totally fine. It should still apply. This year is built around Thomas A. Kempis's Imitatio Christi, his imitation of Christ. And this is a wonderful opportunity to learn from the past. We have many resources to help us spiritually, not just the local church, not just the Bible, but we have those who've gone before us in centuries or millennia past. How close do you feel to God? You're like me, it kind of depends. Some days you just don't feel it. Some days we're more up, some days we're more down. There are valleys, there are peaks, and in between those mountaintop experiences and the valley, it's easy to lose our way, it's easy to drift. And so I'd like to offer this resource to help us to structure our personal devotional life. Well, since the 1400s, the Imitation of Christ has been a Christian classic. The Bible sold more copies, of course. The Bible was translated more. But Imitation of Christ is number two, second only to the Bible. That's how popular it is. And maybe in part that's because it is so richly biblical itself. As you'll see from the readings we'll begin in our lessons, that they are saturated with Scripture. Thomas A. Kempis knew the Scriptures intimately. And I think those who have read the Bible most will probably get the most out of this. You'll recognize the allusions and the quotations, and I'll point them out anyway. The Imitation originally circulated as a series of devotional booklets. It wasn't written all at one time. The earliest of these reached the public by around the year 1420, just a couple years after A. Kempis began writing this. Well, who is this fellow with the unusual name? Well, he's named after the village that he's from, the village of Kempen, so he's called A. Kempis. He lived in Germany. He was born in the 14th century. Most of his life was lived in the 15th century. Spent 72 years as a monk, a member of the Brothers of the Common Life. So he was a relational guy. He wrote many books. This is only one. Of course, it was originally written in Latin because this is medieval Europe. And for non-Latin readers, we're actually in good shape because there are numerous versions and translations, and it's been out in English for a very long time. So this is this is good news, I think, for us all. How is it structured? Glad you asked. There are four books: Helpful Counsels for the Spiritual Life, Directives for the Interior Life, On Interior Consolation, and On the Blessed Sacrament. That's on communion. By my edition, that's 114 chapters. We are not going to be able to read all of those in this series. We will be selective. We'll sample them. And really, to be honest, what I'll be sharing are things that hit me. And, you know, different parts might hit you, but I'm kind of going over my highlightings and my underlining and my notes. So here's how it works. Each day, I'll read the selection. There'll be some, not too many notes, but there'll be some notes if you want to return later on, or if you want to read it in a different version, you can do that. But I'll read the selection, and I'll be using a modern version, a modern rendition. The Scriptures are from the New Living Translation, NLT, and the text is written in more modern English. This has been out a long time. There's no point in being deliberately archaic. Let's make it easy to read. And you'll see a picture of the version by James Watkins. It's the picture there with the grapes across the top, and that's what I'll be using. So we'll read, and then I'll note scriptural connections, and then there'll be a moment for practical application. Usually that would mean thought questions. Okay, here's some things to really wrap your mind around, some personal challenges for the day, some prayer points. We'll go 10 or 20 minutes. We'll have definitely more than 30 podcasts. I promise that to you, but I'm learning as I go. And my hope, my trust is that this series will help all who long for the heart of Christ to become more like him. Now, in lesson one, this is lesson zero, but in lesson one, which is on having the mind of Christ, we're going to actually look at book one and chapter one. Let me just give you a very brief sample. Akempis says, if we have his spirit, the spirit of Christ, we find spiritual nourishment. Unfortunately, there are many people who frequently hear the words of Christ, but have little desire to follow them, and so do not have the mind of Christ. Well, I think that's very helpful because Paul uses that phrase, the mind of Christ. He uses that in 1 Corinthians, he uses that in Romans. And Akempis is giving us a very direct challenge here. We may be somewhat familiar with the words of Christ, or we may know them very well, but if we don't desire to follow them, then we don't have the mind of Christ. It's not about mental assent. It's not about intellect, though that's important. It's about getting our heart in the right place, getting our mind in the right place, and really following Christ. Imitate him, not in some outward way, but in the inward way. And this entire classic, The Imitation of Christ, focuses on our internal life, the interior life of the Spirit. Are you willing to open that up to the Lord and let Akempis help? And I hope that you'll decide, yes, I want to be part of this series and join and grow through this. Thank you so much.